Hazardous materials is a serious subject, but this required training is going to be quick and hopefully painless. We will only discuss the changed information in OSHA's hazard communication standard required by your employer to be communicated to you by December 1st, 2013. By this date, employers must have trained their employees on the new hazardous material label elements and the SDS format, formerly known as MSDS or Material Safety Data Sheet. So, what happened to bring on this revision? Well, OSHA revised its Hazard Communication Standard, or HCS, to align with the United Nations Globally Harmonized System of Classification and Labeling of Chemicals, or simply called the GHS. Is this a better system? Well, OSHA must think so, since they stated that new label elements and SDS requirements will improve worker understanding of the hazards associated with the chemicals in their workplace by improved quality and consistency in the classification and labeling of all chemicals. As a result, workers will have better information available on the safe handling and use of hazardous chemicals, thereby allowing them to avoid injuries and illnesses related to exposures to hazardous chemicals. So let's jump in and begin with the new SDS format. The information contained in the SDS is largely the same as the MSDS, except now SDSs are required to be presented in a consistent, user-friendly 16-section format. Section 1 of the SDS identifies the chemical as well as the recommended uses. The information you'll find in this section includes the product identifier and any other common names by which the substance is known. Information about the supplier of the substance, including name, address, phone number of the manufacturer, importer or other responsible party, and emergency phone number. Recommended use of the substance and any restrictions on use. Properly identifying a product and its recommended uses is an important part of working safely with the substance. Section 2 identifies the hazards of the chemical and the appropriate warning information associated with those hazards. The required information consists of hazard classification of the chemical, signal word, hazard statements, pictograms, precautionary statements, description of any hazards not otherwise classified, and finally, for a mixture that contains ingredients with unknown toxicity, a statement describing how much of the mixture consists of ingredients with unknown acute toxicity. Think about how important it is to identify the hazards of the substances you work with. Did you know exposure to chemicals may cause or add to many serious health effects such as lung damage, central nervous system damage, liver and kidney damage, and cancer? Consulting this section of the SDS helps you understand the risks of working with the material unprotected. Section 3 provides information about chemical composition by identifying the ingredients that are relevant to both substances and mixtures. For substances and mixtures, this information includes chemical name, common name and synonyms, chemical abstract service number and other unique identifiers, and impurities and stabilizing additives that are themselves classified and that contribute to the classification of the chemical. For mixtures, additional information is required to indicate the chemical identity and concentration or concentration ranges of all ingredients that are classified as hazardous under the GHS and that are present above their cutoff or concentration levels. If a chemical is claimed to be a trade secret, then a statement that the specific chemical identity and/or exact percentage of composition has been withheld as a trade secret is required. Section 4 describes the initial care that should be given by untrained responders to an individual who has been exposed to the chemical. The required information includes a description of necessary first aid measures categorized by the different routes of exposure, inhalation, skin and eye contact, and ingestion. The most important symptoms and health effects, both acute and delayed, and the need for immediate medical attention and special treatment when required. Section 5 provides recommendations for fighting a fire caused by the chemical. In this section, you will find recommendations of suitable and unsuitable extinguishing substances. For example, not using water on a substance that reacts with water. Specific hazards that develop from the chemical during the fire, such as any hazardous combustion products created when the chemical burns. recommended special protective equipment and precautions for firefighters. Do you know the proper procedure for reporting and responding to workplace fires? Specifically, to fires caused by substances that can create hazardous situations? If not, ask your supervisor or safety contact. Section 6 provides recommendations on the appropriate response to spills, leaks, or releases, including containment and cleanup practices to prevent or minimize exposure to people, properties, or the environment. The required information may consist of recommendations for use of personal precautions, such as removal of ignition sources or providing sufficient ventilation, and protective equipment to prevent the contamination of skin, eyes, and clothing. Emergency procedures, including instructions for evacuations, consulting experts when needed, and appropriate protective clothing. Methods and materials used for containment, and cleanup procedures. Section 7 provides guidance on the safe handling practices and conditions for safe storage of chemicals. The required information consists of precautions for safe handling, including recommendations for handling incompatible chemicals, minimizing the release of the chemicals into the environment, and providing advice on general hygiene practices. Also, recommendations on the conditions for safe storage, including any incompatibilities and what substances need to be stored elsewhere. Section 8 indicates the exposure limits, engineering controls, and personal protective measures that can be used to minimize worker exposure. The required information consists of OSHA permissible exposure limits, American Conference of Governmental Industrial Hygienists threshold limit values, and any other exposure limit used or recommended by the chemical manufacturer, importer, or employer preparing the safety data sheet, where available. Appropriate engineering controls, recommendations for personal protective measures to prevent illness or injury from exposure to chemicals, such as personal protective equipment, any special requirements for PPE, protective clothing, or respirators. Section 9 identifies physical and chemical properties associated with the substance or mixture, including such vital information as appearance, that is, the substance's physical state, solid, liquid, gas, and color, odor and odor threshold, pH, melting point and freezing point, flash point, evaporation rate, flammability and upper and lower flammability limits, vapor pressure, vapor density, and relative density, solubility, and autoignition and decomposition temperature. The SDS may not contain every item shown here because information may not be relevant or is not available. When this occurs, a notation to that effect must be made for that chemical property. Manufacturers may also add other relevant properties that are deemed important. Section 10 describes the reactivity hazards of the chemical and the chemical stability information. This section is broken into three parts: reactivity, chemical stability, and other. Reactivity includes a description of the specific test data for the chemical. This data can be for a class or family of the chemical if such data adequately represents the anticipated hazard of the chemical, where available. Chemical stability includes indication of whether the chemical is stable or unstable under normal ambient temperature and conditions while in storage and being handled. Description of any stabilizers that may be needed to maintain chemical stability, and indication of any safety issues that may arise should the product change in physical appearance. Other information may include indication of the possibility of hazardous reactions, including a statement whether the chemical will react or polymerize, which could release excess pressure or heat or create other hazardous conditions. Also, a description of the conditions under which hazardous reactions may occur. List of all conditions that should be avoided, for example, static discharge, shock, vibrations, or environmental conditions that may lead to hazardous conditions. List of all classes of incompatible materials with which the chemical could react to produce a hazardous situation. A list of any known or anticipated hazardous decomposition products that could be produced because of use, storage, or heating. Think about the importance of this section. Not knowing the conditions under which a substance is stable or unstable, or what might cause a hazardous reaction, could put you in grave danger. Section 11. It identifies the toxicological and health effects information, or indicates that such data are not available. The required information consists of information on the likely routes of exposure, such as inhalation, ingestion, skin and eye contact. The SDS should indicate if the information is unknown. Description of the delayed, immediate, or chronic effects from short and long-term exposure. The numerical measures of toxicity. Description of the symptoms. This description includes the symptoms associated with exposure to the chemical, including symptoms from the lowest to the most severe exposure. Indication of whether the chemical is listed in the National Toxicology Program report on carcinogens or has been found to be a potential carcinogen in the International Agency for Research on Cancer monographs or found to be a potential carcinogen by OSHA. Your employer must identify the toxic substances used in your workplace and discuss routes of exposure, symptoms of exposure, and health effects of exposure for each substance with you. Sections 12 to 15 are considered non-mandatory and may or may not be included in the SDS. Section 12 provides information to evaluate the environmental impact of the chemical if it were released to the environment. The information may include data from toxicity tests performed on aquatic and/or terrestrial organisms where available, whether there is a potential for the chemical to persist and degrade in the environment, either through biodegradation or other processes, such as oxidation or hydrolysis. Results of tests of bioaccumulation potential, which means the likelihood of a hazardous substance being taken into an organism, such as a human or other animal, and accumulating in the body. The potential for a substance to move from the soil to the groundwater, and other adverse effects such as ozone layer depletion potential and/or global warming potential. Section 13 provides guidance on proper disposal practices, recycling or reclamation of the chemicals or its container, and safe handling practices. The information may include description of appropriate disposal containers to use, recommendations of appropriate disposal methods to employ, description of the physical and chemical properties that may affect disposal activities, language discouraging sewage disposal, and any special precautions for landfills or incineration activities. Section 14 provides guidance on classification information for shipping and transporting of hazardous chemicals by road, air, rail, or sea. The information may include UN number, UN proper shipping name, transport hazard class, packing group number if applicable, based on the degree of hazard, environmental hazards, guidance on transport in bulk, and any special precautions which an employee should be aware of or needs to comply with in connection with transport or conveyance, either within or outside their premises. Section 15 identifies the safety, health, and environmental regulations specific for the product that is not indicated anywhere else on the SDS. The information may include any national and/or regional regulatory information of the chemical or mixtures, including any OSHA, Department of Transportation, Environmental Protection Agency, or Consumer Product Safety Commission regulations. The last section, Section 16, indicates when the SDS was prepared or when the last known revision was made. The SDS may also state where the changes have been made to the previous version. In addition to the new SDS, the HCS revision includes changes to hazardous material labels. Labels, as defined in the HCS, are an appropriate group of written, printed, or graphic informational elements concerning a hazardous chemical that are affixed to, printed on, or attached to the immediate container of a hazardous chemical or to the outside packaging. All information on the label should be the same information stated on the SDS. And if there are similar precautionary statements, the one providing the most protective information will be included on the label. As of June 1st, 2015, the pictograms shown here will be required to alert users of the chemical hazards to which they may be exposed. The pictogram on the label is determined by the chemical hazard classification. it is important to note that the OSHA pictograms do not replace the diamond-shaped labels that the U.S. Department of Transportation requires for the transport of chemicals, including chemical drums, chemical totes, tanks, or other containers. Those labels must be on the external part of a shipped container and must meet the DOT requirements set forth in 49 CFR 172 Subpart E. For this segment, we'll discuss each pictogram one by one. Note, if a chemical has multiple hazards, more than one pictogram must be used to identify the various hazards. The health hazard label is used to identify those chemicals that are or may cause carcinogens, mutagenicity, reproductive toxicity, respiratory sensitizer, target organ toxicity, and aspiration toxicity. The flame label will be used to identify chemicals that are or may be flammable, pyrophoric, self-heating, emit flammable gas, self-reactives, and organic peroxides. The exclamation mark label is used to identify those chemicals that are or may cause irritants, skin sensitizer, acute toxicity, narcotic effects, respiratory tract irritant, or are hazardous to the ozone layer. The gas cylinder label is used to identify gases under pressure. The corrosion label will be used to identify those chemicals that may cause skin corrosion or burns, eye damage, corrosion to metals. The exploding bomb label is used to identify those items that are or may be explosives, self-reactive, organic peroxides. The flame over circle label will be used to identify chemicals that are oxidizers. The skull and crossbones label is used to identify those chemicals that may cause acute toxicity, fatal or toxic. And the final pictogram is classified as non-mandatory by OSHA. It identifies an environmental hazard such as aquatic toxicity. So that's about it. There is, however, one more item we need to discuss: how a label should be used in the workplace. Take a look at this label example. What does it tell us? For one, it gives us information on where to store the material, or really, where not to store the material, which may be better. The label states, "Keep away from heat," informing you to store and use this chemical in a temperature-controlled environment. Using this chemical near hot works or any other location with high temperatures may result in fire or explosion. And we're done. That wasn't so bad, was it? I told you. Painless. Thank you for your time today. We made it through 16 sections and 9 pictograms. But if you have any questions, please contact your local area OSHA office.